I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, Pep's never been so happy to lose. Liverpool score another hatful and the Sheriffs shot down Madrid. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 29th of September. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Match week 2 in the Champions League, and we have already seen some absolutely brilliant matches. Last night was no different. One of the biggest Champions League upsets in history was Sheriff beating Madrid. We'll come on to that a little bit later.
What a match week.
Do you not like that match week?
It just sticks out every time, doesn't it? It's a thing.
Are you calling me a football wanker by calling it match week?
I just said match week.
It's very industry talk, isn't
it?
It's very TV.
Have
industry.
I been very TV
it's
very, there?
Yeah, it's very PLP.
Well, I'm sorry for being a TV presenter. How are you both? It's been a while, Vish. We've not been in this room together for a while.
I know, yeah. We had a lovely reunion at Selhurst Park.
I was very angry for 94 minutes.
Yeah. You were very angry. Yeah. When Zaha scored the penalty, I looked over. I'd have a little taste of your disappointment, and you know, it didn't disappoint. Yeah, you were fuming. Yeah.
I just piled in the lemon drizzle, which was free on offer.
Really?
When that happened. Yeah.
That's a weird buffet, isn't
lemon
it?
Oh, one of the best hustles from Jules Breach. Already had a pre-match pie, wanted another pre-match pie, and decided to hide it under a piece of lemon drizzle cake.
Mate, if there's free pies, I'm having two.
A Trojan
at least.
Pie.
I had to talk her out of having a pre-match pie because we were in the press area.
there was beer.
Is that frowned upon?
What, having a beer?
Yeah.
While you're
in
a game
the press area.
Working. Probably,
well, you know what she's like. It's never just one with her, is it?
Cocktails before long. Where'd you get that? Shut up. Shut up, you virgin. All right, fine.
Enough about Brighton being great. We might be in the Champions League next year. We might be talking about us a bit more on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. But let's talk about PSG Man City. It was the headline game last night. Didn't disappoint. Despite the fact Man City lost, I thought they played really well. But PSG coming out winners 2-0, Idrissa Gueye, and of course Messi with his first goal for PSG. What a time to score it. It had everything, didn't it?
It really did. And it feels a bit ominous, doesn't it? Because it's the sort of goal we've seen him score so many times. And
classic Messi, that.
Yeah. And it's only his second time playing in the stadium. So you feel like once him and those forwards click, and obviously him and Neymar re-clicking probably won't take very long, this might be terrifying. I'm actually a bit concerned that this might be the year where they just have too much for everyone else in Europe.
You reckon?
Adding Messi and Donnarumma as well, in particular.
Made some great saves.
Yeah, he is a real game changer, and you know, like. It feels like we're fighting. It feels like everyone's fighting the tide of PSG eventually getting their first Champions League win, and it looks ominously inevitable at the moment.
Just some of the football on show, though. I mean, it was just. I mean, there were so many star players out there that I don't know why I expected anything else, but just some of the flair. I mean, Neymar just up to his usual tricks.
Yeah.
And then when Foden came on in the second half, he did this ridiculous little pirouette, like. Just a minute after he'd been
on the edge of his box to clear the ball.
It was insane. Like, just the skill on show, the way they passed the ball, both teams, it was so quick, I almost couldn't keep up. Like, if I looked away to grab my cup of tea, I was like, what? Hang on a minute. They're on the other end of the pitch now already.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It's funny, though, because did you not find Messi's goal was, I don't know, it was a reminder of football rather than, I suppose, like how those two teams have made up. You know, so there was like over a billion. You know, pounds worth of talent on that
pitch. £2 billion, I think.
Was it
total?
£2 billion?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, that is
come
mental.
On, Bish, double it.
Yeah. So, you know, there was, you know, the players on the pitch could literally wipe out world poverty. but you know, I'm being flippant there, but obviously because of what those two teams have done, there's been an element of people losing a bit of faith in modern football. So for Messi to score that goal in the way he did, like a bit of old school Messi, it was, I don't know, it brought a bit of the human side to the fore.
Yeah.
And also just a reminder, because I suppose there'd be a bit of a worry that he goes to PSG and he becomes like a bit of a Harlem Globetrotter where it's just like, he's just wheeled out as this like celebrity almost.
Yeah.
And then, but to know he still has it. And I don't think we really doubted that, but I suppose, you know, as each week goes by and you're not really sure how he is. And, but yeah, no, it was a remarkable game. I really like the fact that PSG basically won that game because Messi and Mbappe and Neymar did everything in the opposition half and didn't even bother coming back to defend. They kind of left it to the other eight. And I realise it's probably a bit too on the nose for us in this show to talk about three people dicking about and not having to worry about the hard work that goes on beyond us. But it worked, didn't it? Like, you know, Donnarumma was brilliant. Marquinhos was brilliant. Hakimi, again.
Verratti. Just,
yeah, Verratti was one of a kind.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Verratti is like a couple of players at once, isn't it? When you get someone like just a
and he's so little.
As well. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... He's like, I mean, Pep Guardiola said after the game, he's like, I am in love with him because he's Pep and he just goes into these little reveries that we love so much.
I don't think I've ever seen Pep this happy to lose a game.
No.
Like, he was absolutely buzzing. He was just like so happy with everything. And he just loves Verratti. He loves Messi.
Yeah.
You could just tell he was like weirdly happy. Like he didn't mind that they lost.
But I mean, that's what happens when you're a football pervert. Like you don't mind losing if it's in the right way. You know, there's an S&M to it, isn't there?
Yeah. You get the impression if he could be anything in football, it would be a football. And that's how he'd enjoy the game the most, just being kicked around.
Treat me like one of your footballs.
Oh, dearie me. Let's go back to the very first goal, though, because it wasn't one of the three who you'd have expected to open the scoring for PSG. It was Idrissa Gueye. And I feel slightly sorry for him that goal, which was, I thought, an outstanding finish.
A roof. You don't see roofs very often, do you?
You don't.
Roofs.
I don't know. Ooh. No, roofs. F. No V. Roofs.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let us know. Shout out to football.com.
I just thought it was an outstanding finish. And I feel a bit sorry that it's kind of been overshadowed by Messi. But then I suppose that's what you expect when you play in a team with Messi. But what a goal. What a goal.
It's beautiful. Just hitting it that high. It's just rare, isn't it?
Unless Bruno Fernandes taking a penalty.
That was too high, if anything. Yeah, it was, again, it's quite often in games like this, so you do get goals from unlikely sources because the margins are so tight that it only takes a little bit of space opening up in an unexpected area that you've got someone like that to just slam it home. I mean, how much of a blow is this for City, do you think? They all seem pretty chilled about it, don't they?
I don't think that much, really.
Yeah, I think especially coming off the back of playing how they did at Stamford Bridge and the fact that they're only a point behind Brugge and PSG now. So it's not the end of the world. And I think they can look at that game. And I think maybe a lot of people watching it, as you said, Jules, at the start, they were the better... I mean, they played the better football. They weren't the better team because they didn't win the game.
Yeah.
But they played the better football. They controlled it. They just couldn't quite you know, eke out a really clear cut chance. I mean, apart from Bernardo Silva.
Oh my God.
Good Lord. What is on?
I just like, I still can't believe that that hasn't gone in. I mean, Sterling obviously hits the bar, then Bernardo hits the bar from. So, I mean, I don't know how that doesn't go in.
Yeah. And so,
but
do you know,
I don't play football, so I can only go off what I'm watching. And that seems to me harder to hit the bar than it does to just hit the net.
I mean, that sums it up. Yeah, I thought it was more skillful to hit the bar.
Yeah, he did quite well.
But maybe that's what it is. That's what Pep wants.
Yes,
it's really, so much harder. That's a goal for me.
Don't listen to them. You have nothing to apologise for on Twitter. But the when he goes to try and follow up after it hits the bar and he claims a foul, I immediately thought it was a penalty because I was like, okay, maybe it has to be a penalty because you can't miss like that.
I think that's the classic trying to save face, though. You're like, it's definitely, that was a penalty, it's a foul, there's a foul there, because he's just like, how the hell have I not scored?
I think it's just come at him fast, right, and he's just not been able to wrap his foot around it in the way he'd like, so he's just kind of slashed at it as much as any Man City player can slash at things. They don't really do that, do they? But that's like the closest you're going to get. It would a different game at that point would have been really interesting. This has made me quite excited for the return fixture, actually, to see how City
I think that the
host
reverse
PSG with their fans behind them and with the agenda set in their favour a little bit.
I think the reverse fixture, you could easily see this scoreline in City's favour. I don't think that I saw anything from last night that concerns me for the game at the Etihad or concerns me going into their big game at Liverpool on the weekend either. I do think that Liverpool probably are just edging it at the moment just because of the amount of goals they're scoring. And I think, Jim, going back to the point you made a minute ago, does anything worry me about City? The only thing is the fact that if they did have an out-and-out striker in that team last night, they would have scored.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, obviously, it's hard to say, but you can imagine if they had Harry Kane last night that they probably would have put one or two of those chances away.
Yeah.
Maybe not in his current form, but...
But yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree with that. Even just having that presence there, and if you're Manchester City, the presence of that player, or I suppose the calibre of that player, is going to be so much greater than... You know, than just assuming
than
that you
literally
have...
no one.
yeah, exactly. Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, there was it. I don't think they're going to be governed by that as much, but you do think. You know, we always talk about have City, or you know, we've spoken about have City missed the trick, but not just not getting Harry Kane, but not getting anyone to replace Aguero, especially the way that Gabriel Jesus seems to be like.
I'm a winger
on the
now.
Periphery of everything. Yeah. He's almost doing it to fit in.
Yeah.
He's changing for someone else. And you should never change for other people.
Never change.
Yeah. Be true to yourself, Gabriel.
Be true to yourself, Jesus. Well, he came on in the 78th minute, didn't he? And by that point, I mean, it's so hard to get back into the game because by that point, Messi had already scored. They're already 2-0 up. By the way, I like to see that Messi was doing his bit for the team as well. He did the whole lying on the ground behind the wall.
The draft excluder. Yeah. Most expensive draft excluder in the history of drafts.
Did you hear Rio Ferdinand's comments on that as well? He said he would lay down for him if he was in the team.
That can be read a number of ways.
Slightly weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite a good place to be, I think. I think it's quite underrated because you don't want to get hit in the face.
No. And no one likes that.
You could get hit in the face lying down there.
No, you couldn't because you look the other way,
don't
you?
Oh, yeah, you look the other way, don't you?
Yeah. I'd face it.
I'd lie on the floor facing it.
Why would you do that?
Come on, bring it. Try and hit me.
You'd like go them between someone's legs.
would you rather? Hit Messi in the face from a free kick?
Or hit him in the arse?
Or go for goal? I'd rather hit him in the face just for a laugh. Yeah. If he's facing you, you might as well go for it.
It's a meme game now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, you know.
If Zaha was lying on the floor once, behind
you'd
the
kick
wall.
Him in the face, wouldn't you? You'd run up and give him a boot.
It's a weird thing. If you are the draft excluded guy, and your team concedes, like, when do you get up? Do you know what I mean? Because you're going to be a little bit deflated, aren't you? You're going to have a little moment of like, oh, I'm conceded now. It's really annoying. Got to get up at some point, but I feel a bit flat. I just find that it's a weird situation for a player to be put in.
Do people help you up, do you reckon?
Maybe, yeah.
I'd hope
it's like,
so.
Get up, this is embarrassing.
No. Work. I mean, I just like lift you.
I would hope someone would. Because it's quite hard to get up on your own. From lying down flat.
From a professional footballer. They're not turtles. Help!
Oh, God. Right, let's move on because that was a great match. Good win. Actually, last point on PSG. From what you saw last night, have either of you changed your mind on whether you think PSG can go on and win it this year? Because I think the overall consensus previous to the Champions League starting is that even with Messi in the team, because defensively they can struggle a bit, that they wouldn't have enough to go all the way and win it. Any change of heart, or were you already thinking they could win it?
I do think they could win it, yeah. And yesterday made that kind of cemented that idea. Mm. I mean, but it changes all the time in the Champions League, doesn't it? As yeah. you get through each round. But yeah, like, as
match
I said
week.
Earlier, like sorry, yeah, as you get through each match week. I think it's Donnarumma as much as anything else, and also just how solid they look in terms of having built that platform for the forwards and how effective that platform is. Like yeah. very few teams can have a front three that don't track back, but PSG seems to have gone, well, if we're going to do that, then we need to do this, and just strengthening and solidifying that kind of defensive shape looks like the best way to do that. So I think they can absolutely go on and win it. Also, I think City have got a good chance as well, because they're absolute mentality monsters, aren't they? And they genuinely seem unfazed by having lost this, which is, I'm almost more impressed by that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's almost like they realise that because they've been to the final, they know that, they can, I suppose, drop points in the group stages early and know that they can make up the difference. Yeah, on PSG, I don't see anything different in their team, and I didn't see anything different in their team yesterday that suggests they're better equipped for that. But the Messi goal, if he can keep producing those individual bits of brilliance, then those will be defining moments in the tournament. And I think that I've got more faith in that coming good for them than, I suppose, their general style of play, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, from two of the favourites to win it, Liverpool are going about their business slightly under the radar. I mean, they're never really under the radar because they're Liverpool, but a massive win in Portugal last night, 5-1. Salah got two, Firmino got two, Mane on the score sheet as well. And it was Taremi who got the goal for Porto, which was a consolation. They just love scoring goals out in Porto.
Yeah.
I mean, now across three matches there, they've scored 14 goals. I mean, I expected Liverpool to win last night, but when you talk about mentality monsters, Jim, for me, that's Liverpool. They've started this season unbelievably. They've got a few frailties. We saw that against Brentford, that if you pile the pressure on them, then they can concede, even with Virgil van Dijk back in the team. But this Liverpool side, for me, just look like they're on another level going forward.
Absolutely. And you're right, they're ruthless as well. It's like they've seen the goalkeeper, they've gone, he's having a bit of a day, let's make this the worst day of his life. Let's really, really capitalise on this. Because that was an absolute horror show of goalkeeping, wasn't it?
Like, and yet he also did a few things quite well.
Yeah, but I think that was just a, he's cost them at least two goals, like directly.
Without doubt. But I suppose it's that thing of like, he was interrogated so much that it didn't matter that he answered some questions truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, that the one for Firmino, absolutely clownish. I mean, Ian Dark and Steve McManaman were comparing it to Keystone Cops, which is a thing that commentators do all the time.
They kept saying
that. I
don't
know how many people have actually ever seen Keystone Cops.
I certainly haven't.
But it seems to be this weird touchstone.
Presumably they weren't very good.
No, presumably they were rubbish at being police. But yeah, it's I really, really felt for him while also thinking it was really funny.
You must feel so naked. That moment where he realises he can't, like, he's totally fucked up and he makes up the effort to sprint back and obviously, he had to just get there before, when it was too late. It couldn't just roll in ahead of him. He had to have the, indignity of diving for it backwards as well. But you must feel so naked as a goalkeeper.
Brilliant touch from Firmino to take it away from the defender and the goalkeeper, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's quite getting the credit he deserves for the quick thinking and the finish there. But at the same time, the defender seems to be like, why are you here? To the goalkeeper, which is my absolute highlight of it.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. Sadio Mane alone in his three last visits to Porto has scored 5 goals, 8 goals in 8 games for Mo Salah this season. Going forward, they just look absolutely electric. And when you talk about just how poor Porto were defensively, and particularly from the goalkeeper, just scathing words from the manager post-match. Sergio Conceição said, the junior team would have done better. After this performance, we must think if these players want to have this coach. Wow.
Ooh, wow.
Is he... That took a turn at the end, didn't
yeah.
it?
Like, is he slagging himself off?
Yeah, kind of.
A bit of self-flagellation there. But I mean, it is one of those kind of soul-searching experiences, though, surely. It's like after Barcelona got smashed 8-2 by Bayern, and Piqué was like, I should probably leave. If they want me to leave, I think I will. But again, though, for that to happen three times is, you know, I mean, you just banging your head against the wall at that point, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's the first game Porto lost all season, though. Yeah. And they, you know, they were quite unlucky against Atletico Madrid in the first match week. So, yeah, that seemed like a massive overreaction. But I suppose, you know, even when you watch the highlights, which are like 10 minutes on BT on YouTube, I mean, it's just a battering.
Yeah, just without a doubt.
Yeah.
And partially self-inflicted, but it more in a sort of like stop it in yourself kind of way.
Yeah, but I suppose Liverpool are one of the best teams at holding your hand and slapping you in the face.
Exactly, exactly.
Before we move on from the Liverpool game,
go on.
Is it too early to build a statue for Curtis Jones?
Well, I reckon
I'll stump up the cash.
I reckon it might look quite similar to Mo Salah's, you know, the really bad Mo Salah statue where his hands are like origami.
Well, like a T-Rex.
You know, yeah, have you not seen the Mo Salah statue?
No, I haven't, no.
It's not at Anfield, but there's a really bad Mo Salah statue. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
It's tiny,
terrible.
Isn't it? It almost looks like one of those like bobblehead like figures you used to get in the 90s.
It does.
Like, it's really,
massive
really
head,
strange.
Huge hair. And yeah, I mean, I just don't think footballer statues ever look quite right.
No.
But I can change that.
Really? Do you sculpt a good Curtis Jones?
Yeah, I'll put in the manual labour. Yeah, but he was brilliant.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, I know we saw him a bit last season, and then Harvey Elliott obviously started and had that terrible injury. And he just comes in and he's, like through the middle, out wide on the left as well. Obviously, had a hand in two or three goals, I think it was. And he looks
technically
business,
got the assist for Firmino's, didn't he? But, you know, he's still got to get the ball there. Yeah, no, he was fantastic. Really, really just all action all over the place. And, I mean, that is a sign of a really hungry player, isn't it? When they sense weakness in an opposition and then they use that to assert themselves and display their confidence. He's brilliant.
I think we're seeing a real balance across this Liverpool squad as well, because I think that one of the dangers you can have when a team have been successful, especially with, say, for example, the front three or all the attacking players, is when they all get to a certain age and then they might all start to retire or leave at the same sort of time, you then have to have a complete rebuild. What
it's
we're
like
seeing
when all
with...
your household appliances break at the same time. Doesn't it?
Has that happened to you, Jim?
Yeah.
what you're seeing with Liverpool is that they've got a bunch of young players coming through that are just so talented. And I think Curtis Jones is exactly that fish.
Yeah. They're so talented and they want the opportunities and they know what to do with them. Because I feel like another young player in that situation, when Liverpool are clearly dominant or when their side are clearly dominant, tries to do too much, tries to get a goal, tries to like be a bit too flashy. But he was just really efficient in how brilliant he was.
Yeah. And it also made it quite special as well last night that Liverpool managed to score 5 goals on the day that former England and Liverpool striker Roger Hunt passed away. He was 83 and that news came through yesterday. He played in every single game throughout the 1966 World Cup. Liverpool's record league goal scorer with 244 goals and only second to the legend Ian Rush in the all-time scoring chart. Mm. So really great that Liverpool managed to put 5 past Porto on what would have been a poignant day for a lot of Liverpool fans. Right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, more on last night. It's amazing Champions League games.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hey, Luke, what's up? My friend Kate has invited us to watch the final this week.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
No, I've never heard that before.
That's a computerized Lionel Messi.
Ah.
What?
Yeah.
Pete's fingers all over it.
No. It's like him. It's nothing like him.
No, so like someone did like a basically a version, like a knockoff version of Cameo. Like the Pro Evo version of Cameo.
Right.
Where obviously they couldn't have the right, they don't have the rights to those players, but they can digitize their voice and then you could put whatever you want or buy whatever you want. And they'd say that, yeah.
Is it the same person who put the speed on Steve Bruce?
It might have been. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
Really inaccurate. Welcome back, though, guys. You're listening to Football Ramble this Wednesday. It's Jules, Vish and Jim here with you. And now it is a Wednesday, so it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink water and relax!
He said at the end of the game yesterday that they're not worried and they're going to drink wine and eat.
Yeah.
And prepare for... I love that. I love that footballers, you know, top level footballers come for eat as well.
Yeah.
I'm all over that.
I like it, but it's also like horrifying, isn't it? It's like, oh, you're still that good and you can have pizza.
You can have pizza.
I thought
pizza.
This came at a cost, but you are just like superhumans.
Yeah, I was told it was one or the other. Why are you doing both?
Yeah.
So, as you know, on a Wednesday, we like to offer our services of advice to our lovely listeners. So, Ramblers, if you have any problems, any dilemmas, doesn't have to be football related, then please send them in to us through the usual medium of email, show@footballramble.com, or you can tweet us @footballramble. We've had a couple in. Who wants to go first here? Jim, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. We've got Riley's been in touch and he says, afternoon, Ramblers. I'm approaching a potentially life-changing decision in the next couple of weeks that I only have one shot at. So naturally, I thought I'd seek Pep's distinguished advice. We will not be passing this on to Pep. I'm 17 and I've just passed my driving test. The first of my group of friends, suck it, they're going to need me for trips to the DW. It's not great timing in the middle of a petrol crisis and second-hand car shortage, but what should I purchase for my first car? Need something cheap and cheerful.
Don't talk to me about the petrol crisis.
So, Vish, you drive a Honda Jazz, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And
yeah.
Jules, you drive a sort of like gold-plated, like armour-plated stretch Humvee, don't you? So very,
it's like
very
the Batmobile. Yeah, it's like the original Batmobile, but
yeah, the Breechmobile.
Yeah.
Small people always like big cars. That's definitely a thing. I get that from my mum. My first ever car was a Renault Clio. And I was like, you know what? It did me well for a good few years.
That's a classic first
car. A Renault Clio. I had a navy blue, same colour as your T-shirt, Vish.
Navy blue.
A navy blue sort of Renault Clio. I was so bad at looking after it that one day I was driving along the motorway and it just stopped. And I somehow, I somehow managed to coast onto the hard shoulder.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, I mean, thank goodness I was all right. And I called my breakdown people and I was like, I don't know what I've done, but like the engine won't turn on. And they got there and they're like, your cam belt's gone. I was like, what's a cam belt? And apparently it's something in the car that you're meant to have your car serviced after like a year. I never had it serviced.
I never had it serviced
and I'd had it for like 3 years.
Well, there's your first piece of advice, Riley.
Yes, Riley, make sure you get your car serviced whatever car you do buy.
So they said, hold on, they said the belt was gone and you're like, oh, I've got it right on. No. Where is the bell gone? There is no bell.
Yeah, I was just basically, I just fucked it. I didn't look after it. I've learnt my lesson now.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you do have a nice motor. My Honda Jazz is very reliable. I've had it for a while, It is basically a go-kart because it's an automatic and you can like zoom around everywhere, that which I suppose fun. Is the point of the car.
Can you do wheelies?
I haven't tried, but I reckon I could. If I took a passenger and we sat on the same side, if they sat beside behind me in the driver's seat, I reckon we could at least go on the two wheels.
Oh, nice.
Like the MIA video.
Nice.
I thought 100 yards is pretty good.
Yeah?
100, yeah, I would go for...
I quite like the little Fiat 500s, but then I don't know how tall Riley is. Riley might be like...
All the better. If you are tall, get the Fiat 500.
Really?
Yeah. Get a little tiny car. Yeah.
No, but then that, you look weird if you're a big man getting out of
yeah,
a
but we don't,
car.
Yeah, but it's not our problem. You just look funny. Yeah. We can laugh at him, can't we? Yeah,
get a smart... If you're massive, get a smart car.
It's good for parking.
That's my advice. Yeah, exactly. Right?
Jim, do you drive?
I do
know
not
if I
drive.
I know about your driving.
No, I don't
abilities.
Leave London if I can help it. So, yeah, I don't drive. Don't like it out there.
No driving for you. Vish, what else have we got?
So, yeah, we have a request for some advice from our very own Kate Mason, who has been slumming it in Malibu over the weekend as part of her little triathlon thing. She's got new friends now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she does.
And she asked us of... Basically, she's asked us for some advice on dealing with jet lag. Now, I'm adding the dealing with there because I think she preempted this as a problem and she's only just asked for advice.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's funny that her new friends can't help her with this.
Yeah.
Given that they travel around the world so much. Maybe she's too embarrassed to ask.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So
yeah.
She's come crawling back to us.
Like if they're so good at running, biking and swimming, you know.
I've already helped Mace out. Yeah. She was meant to be here today.
Well, she's really, really taking the piss now.
So she can have a lie-in and get herself sorted. So I think she's back tomorrow. So, you know, I sorted her out. I've already helped you out, Mace. Like, what more do you want from me? What more do you want? You want my advice as well? You've already had a lie-in, love.
Yeah, yeah. Take that, Kate. Deal with it.
I mean, it's just night
hole,
isn't
it? I hate jet lag, though. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Do you not have to time, like, you either, like, adjust your body clock in advance... to deal with it a bit, and then you can ease your way back into it when you get back to your normal routine, or just like strategically bang sleeping tablets on the plane.
Well, I'm scared of sleeping tablets. Don't know why. I just don't like the look of them or the idea of them.
They do make you feel groggy when you wake up.
I just feel like they worry me. So my advice is, from previous experiences of terrible jet lag, there's fuck all you can do about it. You just literally have to just sleep and catch up on it and. 4 or 5 days, you'll be right as rain.
4 or 5 days?
Yeah.
How long do you want?
Longer?
It takes me far less. Yeah. When I came back from Tokyo, I was right the next day.
What?
Coming back from
you're an animal.
But the thing,
what's the secret then?
Okay, so what you need to do is basically on the day you travel, you need to. To an extent, adjust to the time zone you're going to.
Yeah.
So if you've got a flight that's arriving back in the UK in the morning.
Yeah.
You sleep, don't you? No problem sleeping through your flight. If you're arriving later on in the day...
Yeah, but
then...
it's not that easy to just sleep on the plane,
no,
is it? Unless you're riding first class.
I've taken sleeping tablets on a plane and it's still not been enough before.
Really? Kate, get well soon. I hope you feel... I mean, it's not really...
You've changed your tune.
Wake the fuck up.
She's actually texted me this morning already, so I know she's fine. One other thing... that I think I should get both of your advice on here, boys, is did you hear about the situation with the non-league club AFC filed? Now, some of their academy players have basically been reported to the police after they soaked a family with water pistols. Now, I just want to know what you think about this, because if you're that family and a bunch of academy footballers... have decided to have a bit of a laugh and basically just, you know, shoot you with a water gun. Are you going to the police?
What would you do? It sounds a bit like a hit, doesn't it? That they've targeted one family. I feel like it sounds very humorless, doesn't it? But if like they did that to my mum and my dad and brother, I'd be like, whoa! it's suddenly way more personal, isn't it? We get you back up a little bit.
We don't really know the ins and outs of this story. We've been trying to find out a bit more. All we know is that this non-league side have banned their academy players after they did this, after it was reported.
Yeah, we don't know what was in the water pistol as well.
Yeah.
We don't know it was water.
Could be piss.
What would you put in there? What would you put in there if you were going around
vodka if I'm going
people?
To a festival.
So you drink it out of a water pistol.
Yeah, isn't it a good way to sneak in some alcohol?
True. I think I'd go with Advoca.
How would that be a good way to sneak? How are you justifying bringing a water gun into a gun-shaped object into a festival?
Did you know that since COVID, there have been people, like young, like teenagers, going out to like bars and like nightclubs that have been emptying their hand sanitizer containers and putting like vodka in it?
Oh, yeah.
That like you can put it in your drink and... So not pay for the vodka.
So at some cricket grounds, you're allowed to take in a certain amount of booze. So like at Lord's, for example, it's like you can bring in a bottle of wine or like a six pack, basically between two people. Maybe it's just four beers.
You've never had a six pack, Fish.
I've had one of those.
We've all got them. They're just buried.
But there was a great video doing the rounds. They're a bit more strict to certain grounds, and someone. Someone took a loaf of bread in that they'd cut and hollowed out and put stuck in like a bottle of rum.
What?
Yeah.
That is sensational.
His mate filmed him kind of opening it up and like taking the top
of
the loaf.
Of bread.
And, yeah. And just like pulling out this.
That must have been a fat bit of
Jim
bread.
Bean. Yeah. No, it was a proper loaf.
Wow. Yeah. Like a tiger loaf. Nice. The best kind. And then you've got breakfast there as well.
You do. Yeah exactly. Yeah. See? It's something to soak it up as well. Yeah.
Perfect. Absolutely. The perfect crime.
Maybe get the sheriffs on them.
Yeah.
The sheriffs. They beat Real Madrid. What a story. I love it. Last night with like the best player in the world in Messi scoring his first goal for PSG and that not necessarily being like the headline. It's just amazing. Obviously debutants in the Champions League, Sheriff, and they're beating, what is it, 13 time holders? Have they won it 13 times? I've lost bloody count how many times Real Madrid have won it, but it's absolutely ridiculous. And they did it in some style as well. Their two goals were excellent, but the one for the winner to score it in what, the 89th, 90th minute, and it's such a good hit, Jim. Yeah. This is just like, for me, you just can't top stories like that.
Absolutely pure, isn't it? And he hit it with the leg, I believe, on which he has a tattoo of himself dreaming about the Champions League.
Like a real tattoo. We were looking at this earlier, weren't we? We can't believe it. He's actually got a tattoo, Jim, on his calf of him looking up, dreaming of the Champions League trophy. And then here he is scoring and beating Real Madrid.
I think that's the only way that it's not the weirdest thing in the world to have a tattoo of yourself.
It's like, okay, because it's actually come true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, I guess it's the back of his head, but still, like, just what a moment. I'm not entirely sure that we're not all just background characters in his dream, because that's just... It's just unreal.
This does feel like the start of some mad, probably Amazon Prime. They're quite good at these weird kind of shows, but where he starts to think, right, if I just get myself tattooed with something, then it will become true.
Yeah. He's got kids doing it.
Yeah. And he just goes mad. Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, just to kind of explain really that how different in size these clubs are, Sheriff have got 7,000 followers on Twitter. I think, Vish, you've even got more than that, haven't you?
I do, yeah. Are you saying that I should give Real Madrid a game?
You're good on your own. Their market value is $13.6 million. Real Madrid are worth 67 times more, and Jesus have got millions of followers on all their social media platforms. Yeah. It's just...
And they are, they're founded by two former KGB officers, aren't they? And are also, Sheriff is like a big company in Moldova that owns supermarkets and phone companies and stuff like that. So it really is just a lovely underdog story. No way weird at all.
Well, that's the thing. How many years have they won the league? And they've been always like falling at the qualifying stages. Mm. So they lost to Dundalk this time last year. Yeah. It's funny what happens if you truly believe and you have a shitload of money.
Or if you give a sword as a pre-match gift. Do you think Real Madrid just shit themselves and you know what, sod that.
It's a scary sword as well. It's
a proper sword.
Absolutely, like kind of Game of Thrones fantasy style thing.
Well, it's one of those swords, and don't tell me how I know this. Don't ask me how I know this even. But it's one of those swords that's designed for when you stick it in to cause more damage when you pull it out.
Oh. Right, like a little hooky thing.
I've seen that in movies.
Yeah. There is like some there is some big energy to giving your opponent a weapon as a gift. Like it's so confident. It's like when a bully offers you like a fight And they like, yeah, you can have a free hit first. You can hit me first. Like, yeah. I don't want to.
Also, I like the idea that they've got all this weaponry and they're picking like who to give what to who. But right, I suppose yeah, we should give them that little mallet, couldn't we? Because we'll probably beat them. Real Madrid, stick the sword on Real Madrid. Yeah.
Yeah, get that bazooka ready. Is the bazooka back from the blacksmith? Make it as ornate as possible.
It's just quite incredible. What a story. Amazing. I mean, absolutely,
and they've,
amazing.
They've won their first two games in the group as well. Yeah. They've got a really good chance of actually getting through to the knockouts.
Be great when they beat PSG in the final, wouldn't
Imagine.
It? Be on a catapult to hand over to them. The one thing, it is... Obviously, on paper, it's quite a romantic story, and you lose a bit of the romance when you look under the bonnet of Sheriff. But I did enjoy the fact that their players celebrated.
Sorry, if you heard that in the background,
that was a cat.
Was that your stomach?
Is there a cat purring in here?
I don't know if the microphone picked that up, but if it did, I'm so sorry.
It almost sounded like a little remote control helicopter had come in through the door.
Jim just looked at me horrified, like, what the fuck was that?
I genuinely didn't know what it was. I was looking to you as if to go, did you hear that? Oh no, it was you.
I've had breakfast and everything. God knows what's wrong with me.
Is that your turmeric shot repeating on you?
I don't like the turmeric ones. Vitamin D or the ginger ones, they're the ones I like.
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah.
Turmeric's a bit spicy for me. A bit much.
Makes me go all northern.
A little bit of spy.
Well, it sounded like whatever you had was too spicy for you there, to be fair. I had a point to make, but I'm totally lost in it.
Have you forgotten?
No, but I was just saying that, like, obviously it's romantic on paper and it's less romantic when you look under the bonnet of Sheriff. But the way those players reacted and the coaching staff reacted added, like, a degree of authenticity
massively,
to it.
Massively. I mean, the goalkeeper as well, saving a shot with his face at one point as well. They were so, so committed to it. And, like, you can't take that away from the scenario as well. It was so much fun. Benzema as well. I believe he overtook Raul, didn't he, for Champions League goals, which is ultimately irrelevant in the scheme of things after the result. But because he was there while Ronaldo was breaking every record you can imagine, like, it's kind of gone under the radar how much of an all-time great Benzema is too.
Yeah, absolutely. Scoring from the penalty spot. By the way, in terms of Group D, Sheriff are top. Real Madrid are second, Inter Milan are third, and Shakhtar Donetsk are bottom. It's just...
Madness.
How's that going to turn out? Who knows? The other group that I think is really interesting is Liverpool's group, because last night, Atletico Madrid came from behind to beat Milan in stoppage time as well. And of course, it was the shithousery himself, Luis Suarez, who had to be scoring that winning goal as well. It was a penalty. He tapped it down the middle. Griezmann scored his first goal since coming back as well. Sumptuous volley from him. It was just another really interesting result, because it means that group now, Group B, Liverpool are top because they've won both of their games. Atletico Madrid are second, Porto third, and Milan are bottom with no points. So this could be fascinating how this all turns out. I mean, Milan could be completely out, or they could go into the Europa League. Who knows?
Yeah. They started very well, obviously. Rafael Leal scored.
Well, they could still get through.
Lovely goal.
Can they?
Called a sharp goal. And I think he was offside, but he had a brilliant overhead kick as well. But obviously, Frank Kessie getting sent off was a big deal. Just reminded me as well, obviously, that Man City were pretty lucky yesterday that De Bruyne stayed on.
True, was true, actually.
Yeah. Like, I forgot to mention at the start, but it just reminded me of, like, that was obviously would have changed the complexion of the game, but, well, because it certainly changed the complexion of this one, yeah.
Mm, definitely. More Champions League to look forward to tonight as well. In fact, I'm about to, after I go to the toilet when I leave, go straight up to Old Trafford.
Can you let us know when you do? We can clear everyone out.
For the Man United game against Villarreal, a repeat of last year's Europa League final, of course. Vish, how are you feeling about the game tonight? Man United really need a win, not just in terms of the Champions League, but just to get back on track a bit. It's all gone a little bit downhill.
Yeah, it feels like... So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer yesterday in the press conference for this game was saying how it's not a must-win game, it is a very important game. And I feel like he was talking a lot about himself there rather than Man United as a whole, because the conversation's just turning a bit. And obviously that's been... I suppose, fueled by how well, Chelsea started the season. Even little things like Arsenal's win on Sunday and the manner that United obviously lost to Aston Villa. Yeah, it does seem like there is a lot of pressure on him. There's also, you know, question marks about, not so much question marks, but obviously Jadon Sancho hasn't had the greatest of starts. And United have some issues at the back as well with Harry Maguire's out for a few weeks. Luke Shaw might only be fit enough for the bench. So it's going to be a bit of a line change at the back anyway. So, yeah, no, it's incredibly important. Yeah, I'm sorry, Wan-Bissaka obviously being suspended as well because of the red card when United lost in the first game against Young Boys. So, yeah, there's weirdly a lot at stake this early in the Champions League. The Champions League used to be... it used to be a place where United could flex a bit, could relax a bit, could, you know, play through their squad. And now it feels like we're already in that territory where they're not necessarily must-win games, but there's certainly games where Solskjaer has to put out quite a strong team.
The pressure's on, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You get that when you've got Ronaldo back at the club. And by the way, while I'm up in Manchester, I'm going to go hunting for the new Ronaldo mural.
Yes.
Which fans are saying looks a bit like Pat Butcher.
It does look like it.
It's the teeth. Yeah. He's got the Pat Butcher teeth. And yeah.
It almost looks like he's wearing makeup, doesn't it?
It does look like he's wearing makeup.
I mean, he probably does wear makeup.
Yeah, and well, there you go.
Although if he wants to be a bit more Pat Butcher, he needs bigger earrings than that. Maybe he can borrow Neymar. Jim, what do you think about Man United this season? Do you think it's do you think they'll get things back together, or do you think this is just a little bit of a slump?
To be honest, I mean, obviously they finished second last season, didn't they? And I remember thinking at the time that on paper that looks great. Obviously, to sack Solskjaer then would have been nuts. The transfer window they've had has been exceptional as well. Obviously, we're yet to see if you know Ronaldo's goals come at a cost that ultimately aren't worth it. But I remember thinking that it seemed more likely they would fall down rather than go up and like take that next step to win the league. And I think that seems to be what's playing out. And I think so much of it is them not addressing the hole that they have in their midfield. They're being linked with Calvin Phillips, which if they could get him, that'd be a great step towards that. But I just think it's coming back to the sense that is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the guy for the job. I mean, I feel like they'll probably win tonight because he's very good at like getting a win when the pressure starts to be on. But because the pressure starts to come on so much, they drop points, they have bad results, and it ultimately means that they fall short. And to be honest, it just looks like the same pattern again. Yeah. Exactly the same pattern again. It doesn't look like they're really progressing, despite the fact that I think they've consistently improved their squads. But I just don't see them winning something. And that has to be what the benchmark is for them at this point, and for him, because he's been there a while now.
Yeah, indeed. Chelsea also are in Italy tonight. They've got Juventus. They're without quite a few key players, though. Kante has COVID, so we wish him well. Hopefully he'll be back fairly soon. Reece James is out. Pulisic is out. Mason Mount. Few injuries in the team. But of course, you've got the return of Jorginho and others going back to Italy for the first time since the Euros win. So nice for
them. Why are you bringing that up again?
Oh, sorry, I know.
Look how the world has changed. Jim was just feeling sorry about Manchester United. Then you bring up the Euros as well.
All right, Shall we go? Should we leave it there? We will leave it there because we've rabbited on for 40-odd minutes. That's all from us today. You're back tomorrow, Bish, aren't you, to talk about tonight's matches?
I am indeed.
Andy's going to be back along with jet-lagged Kate. And don't forget, if you want more Ramble action as well, there's loads of bonus content over on our Patreon. You can listen to exclusive weekly episodes of Ramble On and The Teams of Our Lives, where Marcus and Andy discussed the glory years of Serie A in the 90s this week, as well as ad-free episodes of every Ramble show as well. So subscribe now, patreon.com/footballramble for as little as $5 a month. Jim, Vish, pleasure to have your company. Enjoy the rest of match week 2 in the Champions League. And thanks to you guys for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.